Thank you in Jesus' precious name for the gathering of your people tonight, Lord. Thank you for the desire that you've put on our hearts to be here, Lord, the desire to know more of your word, the desire to be a people who worship and praise you in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we share together. Lord, we praise and thank you again for your precious word. Lord, we thank you that it is truth. And Lord, as we consider it now, we just pray that you would indeed illumine our hearts, Lord. Speak clearly to us. Use us for your glory's sake, we pray. Build up, Father, your people in the most holiest of faith, that you might be glorified in and through us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, we do come to the end of the book of Daniel. Tonight we finished the book of Ephesians, and as many of you were encouraged by the ministry there, I do hope and pray that you have been encouraged by the ministry in the book of Daniel. It's not been easy. There's been some pretty long sermons, as some of you have told me. We've looked at one or two short passages together, and it's taken us longer than we actually thought it would do. But praise God, we've actually come to the end of the book, and the Lord has taught me a great deal, and I do hope and pray that you've learned through it. There's no doubt that the book of Daniel is one of those most important books in the Bible. In fact, one writer said, as we begun our series, he said this, that the book of Daniel is the most thrilling book in the Bible. But it's also true to say that it's not easy to understand. It may well be some of the most complicated writings, particularly when Daniel looks into the future. It is the only Old Testament book, however, that the Lord Jesus Christ specifically says in Matthew 24:7, let the reader understand. And that is what we have sought to do over these weeks and months together. We've sought to understand God's precious word. We've sought to be readers and students of his word, that we might understand it and learn how we can apply his truth to our lives. The simple truth of this is that God is in control of this world, the big world and our individual world as well. And so we close with this statement tonight. God is sovereignly working out his plan in both the Gentile world and in the Jewish history. And he is moving history, all of history, to his prophetic conclusion. And as he works out his program at any time, he greatly honors and uses those individuals who remain faithful to him. Daniel was one of those who remained faithful to God's precious word, who remained faithful to God, and God greatly honored him. What is interesting, though, is Daniel also, through his declaring of the truth, used others to understand this simple truth of that God was in control. Even heathen kings, as Gareth has actually mentioned in his prayer, you know, could you imagine those at the G7? As they arrived in their limousines, in their planes, and then their helicopters, or for some, several planes, just to get the people there. Imagine as they stood as in their importance to bring these things to a conclusion, to make decisions that affect the whole world. Imagine, just imagine, that in the midst of that, the word of the Lord came. Even as it was in Daniel's day, writing appeared on the wall and they fell down. Like Nebuchadnezzar, this great king of Babylon, who recognized that above all there was another king who was far greater than he, the king of kings. Or that was also true of the Babylonian king Belshazzar as well. He recognized through Daniel's word, through the truth of the declaration that there was a God, as so did Darius, who in Daniel 6, 26 and 27 declared that all the nations should worship the true and living God, the God of the Bible. You know, if these heathen powers could see that, if these heathen powers could get that there is a God who is in control, oh, that the G7, oh, that the leaders of our nation might recognize that. But if these heathen powers in Daniel's day could do it, should not his people, should not we who know the Lord Jesus, we who have his written word, should be those who humble ourselves to the perfect plan of God, knowing that our God is fully in control. Well, Daniel did. Daniel was one of those who was faithful. He faithfully sought to understand. He faithfully sought to discern God's word in order to live his life according to God's plan, to God's will. The prophecies in the book of Daniel that we have considered over these weeks and months together, which were written over 2,500 years ago, amazingly, however, God's word is so relevant today. It is applicable for the days in which we are living in. It would appear that we are nearing the very events described in the book of Daniel. And so as we do, we need to know this, that God will bring to pass precisely what he has predicted, everything that he has said in his written word. And then, once all these things have been brought, he will establish his kingdom forever and forever. Hallelujah, what a day. We're living in the day, I believe, as many do, where we're seeing God's prophetic word fulfilled. And it is exciting days in which we are living in. But as we bring this book to a close, there's one or two things just to end with. From verse 4, if we can just go back to verse 4, Gareth began from verse 5, but from verse 4, Daniel is asked to seal up these words. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the end of time. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. What is Daniel supposed to do with these incredible prophetic writings that he's been given? What is Daniel supposed to do with this incredible revelation into God's plan and purpose? Well, Daniel is told to conceal the words, seal them up until the end of time. Now, we know that the book of Daniel is part of the Old Testament, is part of the canon, the word of God. That doesn't mean that the things that Daniel heard and experienced shouldn't have been written down. But what this means in the sealing up of these words is the events that Daniel had been used to see, the events that Daniel had described, will not be fully known, fully appreciated until the end occurs in verse 9 there. Until we get to the end, these things that you've seen, these things that discovered are to be sealed up until that time. Daniel himself would not have a full grasp on some of the prophetic revelations that he'd been used of God to interpret. Why? Well, simply because God had said that these things are designed, they're designated for until the end of days. Notice at the end of verse 4, however, it says that many will go back and forth through the book and increase in knowledge. Many will run through this book and other books, Revelation, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, trying to put these pieces together, trying to discern, trying to understand what these things mean, and many will increase in knowledge. And that is certainly true as we move closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos in Amos 8 verse 11 and 12 says that during the last days, specifically during the tribulation, the inference is there will be a great drought in concerning the word of God. There will be those who be going here, there and everywhere seeking things out, but there will be a drought of it. Listen to what he says. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food, or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Dr. John Woolward, in his commentary on the book of Daniel, he said that the ability to accurately consider the inspired prophecy will require considerable effort. It will take effort, just like Daniel did. At every stage, one of the things that we've discovered about Daniel, he was a man of prayer. He sought the Lord earnestly in order to be able to discern what God was doing in his day. It takes effort. It takes effort to look to the Lord, to study his word, to ask, Lord, give me understanding on these scriptures. In Amos 8 and verse 12, it says, finding someone to accurately interpret these things will actually be a rare thing, but there will be those who will spend time, and God will give them understanding. It seems to me as the time of the end draws near, there will be a new interest, a surging interest in biblical prophecy, and many will go forth through the scriptures to discover it. It would also seem to me that God will permit more and more knowledge to increase through those individuals as the time of the end draws near. Seal these things up till the end, God says here. Many will go here and there to increase in their knowledge. Do you know there's a Jewish rabbinic rule that was often used in scripture? It was actually used by the Apostle Paul, and it was used by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in some of his teaching, and it's called Kol Vahoma, Kol Vahoma. It's light to heavy. There is an argument, there is light to the argument, but there's a heavier weight to the argument as time moves on. There is a greater gravitas in the latter. There was always the way. This was true of biblical prophecy, especially prophecy concerning the end times. And especially seemed prophecy concerning the relationship that he had with his people. Let me illustrate Kol Vahoma, if I may, in the best way that I can understand. And it's a rather crude way, but it's the best way that I can explain it. On Sunday, the 7th of May, 8:15 p.m., because I'm that precise, I actually had a phone call. It was actually a Zoom call, and it was with Sarah and Jesse, and it was a meeting about their wedding. And the information that they gave me was important information about their wedding, why they were marrying on that day, and what they had to do, and what they needed me to do, and all the planning that they began to put together even at that stage. And it was important stuff, but actually, it had a lightness in my mind. And the main reason being is, it was weeks and months off. And I had so much to do. I actually had 20 sermons to prepare in that period of time. I had 10 Bible studies. There was other meetings that I need to do, visitation, and anything else that came in between as well. But you know, as the 5th of June came closer and closer, the weight and the heaviness of that meeting where they described what they wanted on their service, what I needed to do in order to facilitate that one, the weight of their words got heavier and heavier on me until the actual day came. Can you see that's what Kol Vahoma is? It's light to heavy. There is a weight in the importance of it, but as the day gets closer, as the day gets nearer, there is a greater weight within it. That is true of biblical prophecy. Biblical prophecy, which is never just simple prediction and fulfillment. Biblical prophecy always has a pattern to it. It has happening, it will happen, it has happened, and it will happen again. There's always a pattern within biblical prophecy. Dr. Vuard, again, he said this. He said, it is not too much to say that a 20th century interpreter of Daniel may understand these prophecies with greater clarity and be able to relate them to history in a way that is possible, that it wasn't possible in the 6th century BC. In other words, as we get closer to the day, the Lord gives us greater understanding of what he has said. During the last days, even during those tribulation days, many will literally run to the book of Daniel seeking to answers to all that is happening in their day. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation will become paramount in the last days. People in those days will literally physically run back and forth trying to understand the days in which they're living in the light of what God has said. Can I just say something? And this is an important truth here. This is not new revelation. Be careful of those who give new revelation. No, this is actually just new light on God's old truth. It's just helping us, helping God's people as they fervently seek him to understand his word in the light of all that he is doing. So what did Daniel see and what did he hear? He was told to seal it up But he saw and heard some amazing things. In verse 5, when then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank and one of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Daniel saw these two angels standing on two banks of the river. And one of the angels asked the man who was standing, who was dressed in linen, what will happen? What about these things? How long will it be? It's interesting that the river's not named. It is earlier on in the passage. We know that there's two rivers that are described in the Genesis that signify the nation of Israel that surrounded between that Egypt, the river down in Egypt, and the river Euphrates. The implication is they're standing either side of them, just to say that God is sovereign over all of these things. He's sovereign over both sides of the river. We don't know where it was, but one angel wants to know how long it will be until all these things are accomplished in verse 6. And the answer comes in verse 7. These things will be accomplished by the time we get to the 3.5 years. Time times a half and a time refers to 3.5 years. That's 42 months, or that's 1,260 days. It's something, a figure which is repeated on several occasions, not just in Daniel, but also in the book of Revelation as well. In Revelation 11 and 12, it records this: they will trample on the whole of the city for 42 months. This is talking about the last days that Daniel had an understanding of, when the Antichrist rises up and he takes control and he seeks to draw worship to himself and he seeks to destroy God's holy city. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. And I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They will declare what God is doing. That's what the prophecy is. I remind you, the prophecy has two, one of foretelling, one of declaring what God is, what God has done, but there's one of forthtelling as well, of prediction. I do not think this will be one of prediction. This will be one of foretelling what God has planned to do in light of everything that we've seen. These things will be sealed up until the end, and then at the end, there will be those witnesses who will declare what God is doing in their day. Similarly, in 12 and verse 6 of Revelation, the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. It goes on in verse 14 of chapter 12. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be taken care for a time, times a time and a half. That is that 3.5 year period again. This is the amount of time that the Antichrist will have to finish the shattering of the power of the holy people, as described in verse 7. The rising of the two hands is a clear indication of the solemnity of the prediction of what God is going to do. A raising up of his hands, looking to God, to the sovereign God, and saying, "This is your doing." What a thing to hear, what a thing to see. But it's a thing that caused great perplexity to Daniel. He didn't fully understand, and so he sought to understand. Daniel wanted to know. Daniel 12, 13, 8 through to 13, it says this: I heard these things, but I did not understand. And so I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all of this be? What will the outcome of the pouring of your wrath for 3.5 years? What will be the outcome? Will everybody be destroyed?" And he replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." They will not change. They are sealed, and it will happen. But it will happen at the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined. but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and of the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise and you will receive your allotted inheritance. Daniel wanted to know more. He wanted to know what the outcome of all these events would be. And so in verse 8, he says plainly, I don't understand this prophecy, but Lord, give me understanding, my Lord, so that I may be able to discern all that you're doing. These matters pertaining to the movement of the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation baffled Daniel, and you know what? They've baffled scholars and Christians right the way down through the years as well. And I firmly believe, quol vehoma is so true, that we will only have an understanding as we get closer to the days. That's why I've always said, if you ever hear anybody who says, I've got Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation all sold up, I know it all, I can tell you all that they mean, don't listen to them. Because some of these things we will only gain in understanding as we get closer to the time of the Lord. I know you've heard all these things battered about over the years, pre, post, A, and everything, and all these things are often man's interpretation of God's word. We need clarity from God himself through his word. And I believe that as we get closer to the days, we will receive that, the Lord being our helper. However, he asks that question and the answer comes. The first answer is this: these things will happen, but they will happen in the future, Daniel. So don't you be concerned, verse 9. They are sealed up until the end time. In other words, Daniel is being told that this information is not going to be completely understood until the end of days. What is interesting is that Daniel is never rebuked for wanting to know this truth. You know, Daniel doesn't say, excuse me. You know, the Lord doesn't say, Daniel, this is not for you to know. No, the fact that he is seeking the Lord, the fact that he is seeking to understand all that God had said in his word is a healthy thing, folks. We should do that. I've got to say, we shouldn't be overly consumed in these areas. Some of you have actually asked, can we go on straight away to do the book of Revelation? Wow, that's a big ask. Especially after we've just finished Daniel, it's going to be a couple of deep breaths and maybe certainly a good many months or even a year before we can go into those passages again. I say that because the danger is that we can become consumed with these things. It's not wrong, however, to ask, to look, to be inquisitive. It was a similar thing that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus. Remember in Acts 1, when the disciples actually questioned the Lord Jesus and they actually said, Lord, is it now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? It was never one of, it's not going to happen, but what was, is it going to be now? And remember what Jesus said to him? It is not for you to know the times and the epochs that the Father has set, but for you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you just be faithful. It wasn't wrong for them to ask. Jesus didn't rebuke them for asking, rebuke them for wanting to know. But what he called them to do is until these things happen, you remain faithful. And that's the thing that you and I need to do. We shouldn't become fearful. We shouldn't be consumed with these things. We should desire to know them. But within that, folks, we should remain faithful in our witness to the saving power of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're left here to do. If that was not the case, as we said last week, What it would have been is we get saved and the Lord immediately raptures us, immediately takes us into glory. No, the Lord has left us here for a purpose, that we might be witnesses to him. Let us remain faithful. These other things will happen, though. They will happen in God's time. There is not a problem to inquire, but rest in the knowledge that God will reveal these things and God will fulfill these things in his time, Daniel. The second answer says many will become righteous because of these things in verse 10. Look what it says there. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. Wow. In other words, during that period of time where there is great tribulation, where there is incredible things that are happening which could cause many to fear, many will cry out to God. Folks, there's no other way that one can be made righteous. There's no other way that one can be refined. There's no other way that one can be made spotless unless you cry out to God and you receive the righteousness which the Lord Jesus Christ imputes to those who believe. And so the implication of the text here is during that period of time, many will cry out to God and they will be saved. Hallelujah. Do you know, there's nothing like a bit of pending wrath to cause people to seek God. It's one of the things we were discussing in our home group on Tuesday, how during this pandemic time that church attendance has gone up. It's interesting as well, and I say this lightly, not to rejoice in the fact that church attendance or inquiries into these things has increased. But on the reverse of that, inquiries into other occultic spiritual things have increased as well. Man is a spiritual being, and they seek for answers wherever. Our prayer is that they would seek for answers in the true and living God. But as Gareth alluded to also in his prayer tonight, as many, and it's even had been commented on by others in social media, as many watched and observed what happened to that very fit young man as he ran around the football pitch, I'm convinced that running's not good for you. That's why I don't run, because it's not good for you. Something can happen to you. But what was observed by that is how fleeting life is, how it can be snubbed out just like that, and how the truth of the Word of God says simply this, that it is appointed for man to die once and then judgment. Many have inquired. Many have maybe begun to think what happens after life and death when they see something like that so visual, as many have during these days. It was also true, as we've been pointed out before, of how many began to seek God during the Second and the First World War. Through crises in life, many people seek God, and that is going to be true in the last days. However, not all will. Many will continue in their acts of wickedness despite all the things that Daniel has said will happen. Look what it says in that second part of 10. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Daniel know this, that during those last days there will be those who will seek God. But there will be those who will continue in their rebellion as well. There will be those who will refuse to accept their need of a Savior. There will be those who become still will maintain their own self-reliance. Those who just think that they are number one. They are the important ones. As if the whole world evolves around them. Even though God has laid out what will happen to the wicked, the wicked will not stop in their wickedness. How sad it is. There's a fourth answer that is given as well in the last part. That only the wise people may understand prophetic things. If you are beginning to understand, not completely understand, but you're beginning to understand some of these things that we've looked at in Daniel, if you're beginning to understand some of the things that God has said in the book of Revelation, well, then you are considered to be one of those who is wise. Wicked people may want to study prophecy. They may want to know what is going to happen, but they will have no clue at all. The understanding of biblical prophecy requires a godly spirituality, not a humanistic spirituality. No, it requires a godly spirituality, which comes firstly through an intense understanding of God's precious word. It takes time to understand God's word, to seek God in order to discern, in order to rightfully divide the truth, to be like those that it speaks of in Acts 17. Remember what it says? Those in Berea were not like those in Thessalonica. Those in Thessalonica, they actually kicked Paul out. But when Paul eventually arrived in Berea, remember what it says about the Bereans? They were more noble, and they searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul was saying was true or not. You and I should be those who seek God, who seek the truth, who after the preacher preaches on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning, you go to the scriptures and you say, let's see whether what he said this morning was true. Let's listen again when John sends out the sermon and go over it again to see whether these things are true. No, that's the first thing. An understanding of biblical prophecy requires a godly spirituality that firstly has an intense desire to know the truth of God. The second thing, it is only those who are filled by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. It's the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit which is given to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is He who gives us understanding of His precious word. Wicked people do not have a godliness. They do not have a desire to understand the word of God, and they do not have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they will never, ever know truth. But the wise will. Know what truth? Understand what? Well, understand what will happen in those 3.5 year period as the end begins to draw. Look what it says there. From that time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up. Again, this is speaking of a future time. This was not simply talking of that intertestament time that we looked at. Remember Antiochus Epiphanes, how he caused the desolation. Jesus spoke about another time that would come. Again, the implication of this, and that is why many people believe that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Some don't. Some say there's another implication to this, and there's good cause on both sides. I think this directly speaks in the fact that one day the temple may well be rebuilt, because it says, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation that Jesus Christ himself spoke about is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits and reaches to the end, who reaches to the 1,335 days. Folks, there's going to be an interval of those 45 days. What will happen there? Well, we don't know. Biblical prophecy implies from Ezekiel that something will happen where God will judge Israel. But God will judge the nations during that period of time at the end of the tribulation. We're not sure exactly what will happen, but again, it's one of those things that will be revealed as the time gets closer. Let me give you an indication of what it could be. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 and verses 22 to 30 as we begin to close. That's just me giving you a bit of hope that we are closing tonight. Verse 22-34, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between the sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. But I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill, that is the hill of the Lord, the blessed place, that is Jerusalem. I will send down showers in seasons. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the fields will yield their fruit, and the crops will yield its crops. And the people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, and my people, declares the sovereign Lord. My sheep, the sheep of my pasture, the sheep of my pasture are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. The end result is that finally God's people will recognize that God has made provision for them all along through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved, and they will enter the promised fulfillment of God's blessing. What about Daniel? Well, as we close this evening, the Word of God gives him that reassurance that he will come to an end. As for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Daniel will die. But when he is raised to life again, he will be given his reward in the kingdom of God. Twice in this chapter, it's an interesting phrase that is used there in chapter 9 and in that last verse in 13, where God says to him, as for you, Daniel, go your way. He says, he doesn't say change your ways. He said, go your way, continue on what you are doing. Continue seeking me. Continue being faithful to what I've called you to do. His commitment to precisely understand God's word and his commitment to pray did not need to be adjusted in any way at all. As for you, Daniel, go your way and be faithful. Even though God's plan is massive, it involves individuals in it. Again, in his commentary, as he draws this passage to a close, Dr. Woolward, he concludes his study and he says these words, in the light of world conditions today, which would seem to anticipate the fulfillment of Daniel's time of the end, it is possible to understand Daniel today as never before in history. The hour may not be far distant when faithful servants in the midst of trial, in the midst of great tribulation, will turn to these pages of Scripture and find in them the strength and the courage to remain true, even though it means the possibility of a martyr's death. For Christians living in this age, of grace, the book of Daniel, as never before, cast a broad light upon contemporary events, foreshadowing the consummation which will come in not too far distance. In other words, we are living in privileged days where we are seeing God fulfill his precious word. Just as Daniel once read the handwriting on the wall, so too we need to read it. We need to discern, we need to understand all that God has said in his precious word, all that God is doing. And I hope during this time of study together in the book of Daniel that maybe we've got a little bit more of a glimpse of the sovereign control of our God, of the power to fulfill his word, of how he is, as year succeeds to year, fulfilling his plans and his purposes. But maybe also, for those of us who don't know the Lord, maybe we've had another glimpse of the salvation of our God. And so I say to you today, if you hear the word of the Lord this day, do not harden your heart. because God will bring all these things to fulfillment. And we need to make sure that we are in the right relationship with God. Do you know today that if you are in that right relationship with God, when he pours out his wrath, you will not be the object of his wrath. But if you are not in that right relationship, if you continue to live in rebellion against what God has commanded you to do, then you will be an object of his scorn. And so I pray that this very night that you may find yourself in the right relationship with Almighty God, he who sent his own Son to give his life a ransom so that you might be saved. He who is sovereignly in control and working out his purposes as year succeeds to year, may you know him, may you be in that right relationship with him, that relationship that only comes by being in Christ and in him alone. To him be the praise and the glory. Folks, one day we will worship together. We will worship at the throne of God. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the Son we'll stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promised grace, and there salvation comes. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together to close.